Well, well, well.
Greetings, Chandler.
Greetings, Lauren.
We are currently ensconced at the Holiday Inn Express.
We're at another hotel having another romantic couple of days together.
How do you feel about so far this hotel experience?
It's not the hotel experience we were just previously at.
It's not the Bellevue Inn in Clearwater, Florida, folks.
Right. And if you want to know why we were in Clearwater, Florida, go ahead and sign up for the Patreon.
You know, we actually haven't given the Patreon much of a plug recently, and I feel like it's time to shove it in people's faces yet again.
Right. There's a salacious story there, a story of pitfalls and triumph.
Yeah, I would say more like a deeply embarrassing moment in Tampa, Florida for Chandler. No offense. It's not really that embarrassing. It's totally
deeply embarrassing.
It's actually wonderful. You should be proud of it.
No, it's hilarious. It's slightly embarrassing. It's a, you know, the epitome of a first world problem. That's all I'll say.
If you want to find out why Chandler and I were in Tampa, Florida this past weekend, go give the Patreon a listen. Enjoy. Sign up. It's $7.99 a month, and you can be delighted with not only wasting 1 hour of your week, 1 hour of your one wild and precious life with the Popapologist, but you can waste 2 hours of it. An extra episode every Friday.
Mm-hmm. Lauren's hand has been resting on my leg for the last 30 seconds.
It's for stability. Okay, we're sitting, and I'm not trying. Are you trying to put
the moves on me during the podcast?
Yes, Chandler. I'm trying to come on to you. I can't believe I'm discovered, especially while we're recording. Oh. No, it's for stability. Okay. I need to sit normally. Okay.
Sorry, folks.
Anyway, it's a lot of adjusting happening, but. What was I saying? Sorry, I'm a little bit shaken being accused of coming on to you. So we're
good.
Patreon.
You should be shaken.
Anyway, if you would like to join, that is absolutely the best way to support the podcast, other than telling your friends, sending them episodes, saying you got to listen to these gals. They're hilarious, especially Lauren. Or
you got to hear this hilarious blunder from Chandler on the Patreon.
Writing us a 5-star review. Anyway, we have recently joined a podcast network, and they have told us that we need to bug you guys to support us more. So that's what we are doing.
And if you're a longtime listener who feels like a 5-star review is just out of the question for you, but you're more comfortable with a 4-star review, I'll take a 4-star.
No, absolutely not. 5 stars only. 5 stars are F off. Speaking of, we have to discuss, Chandler.
Yeah.
So, you guys, we are in San Clemente, California this week for our little sister's farewell. She's going on she's serving a Mormon mission in Fukuoka,
Japan.
We're so excited for her. So we are here, though, ensconced in San Clemente at the Holiday Inn Express.
And Lauren and I are – the reason why we're at the Holiday Inn Express on our own dime, no less.
On my dime.
Sorry, on Lauren's dime. Is because our parents are not prioritizing the lodgings of us. Our parents have prioritized hobby rooms over guest bedrooms.
It's true. There's a scrapbooking room. There's a gym. There's what else is there?
I mean, there's a room that McCall lived in.
Oh, there's a man cave. Okay, right. there's three hobby rooms, and then there's three bedrooms. And when you have seven adults coming to stay with you, someone's got to post up at the Holiday Inn Express, folks.
Yeah, so it's been Lauren and I.
And unfortunately, this is one of the decent hotels in San Clemente, and it's still pretty crappy.
Yeah. So, honestly, we're a bit shaken from this experience.
We are. We don't know what's going on, you guys, but above us. Can we talk about this?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Whatever room or space that is above our ground level room has activity going all throughout
the time.
I've woken up at 1. I've woken up at 2, 3. I've been here for a few days. I don't know what's going on. People are just walking around all hours of the night.
All hours.
So last night when it was 1:52 a.m. and there was just people walking around, not someone getting up and going to the restroom and then laying back down like a normal person, literally walking around, just doing errands, totally. Random tasks around the room. So I think that it's a meth lab.
Something extremely sketchy is going on upstairs.
Yeah.
It wakes us up.
Someone upstairs is mixing household detergent and other types of nefarious chemicals to create drugs, because there's no good reason why you need to be walking around your hotel room at all hours of the night. And I thought maybe it was a baby or something. We haven't heard any children.
All the time. And then also, what's more jarring about it is there's a creaking sound during the constant, pacing back and forth that this person or these people are doing as they're, cooking the meth.
Yeah.
And And it makes me think that the ceiling is very weak and at any moment it could just like cave in and fall. We could be crushed.
Ceilings cave in and fall all the time. Literally, they're like so weak. And then this totally happens. It's like sinkholes.
Honestly, I am a very afraid person, and we had someone move in to the apartment above us in Puerto Rico, and I did have the thought many times, like, I just really hope the ceiling doesn't cave in, even though it's like a very nice building.
I mean, I just don't think ceilings cave in.
I know, but all my fears are irrational.
Right, right.
So,
I mean, like, no, you're drowning, fire, like, those are real, but ceilings caving in?
I always, wherever I am, I can always imagine, like, the furniture in the next floor crushing me.
Falling through. Right, yeah. Right.
Well, these are scenarios that run through my brain.
Well, with my really heavy bed in my room, like it's 600 pounds. And I always am like, what if that falls through?
Do you think your bed is 600 pounds?
No, each bed is like 300 pounds once it's put together.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's 600 pounds.
The Chinese 600 pound life. Live above. I hope they have a hazard warning.
I hope they have like insurance. Yeah.
Yeah, honestly. Okay. All that to say, we're in town with Deb, the famous Deb. And everyone's been saying, we need Deb on the pod ASAP. Get Deb on the pod. Listen, people, we could not want Deb to come on the pod more. However, she outrightly refuses.
What did she say last night? She goes, are you guys still liking that podcast you're doing? Like,
or is it a lot of work?
Right. I'm like, okay, rude.
However, she said that her condition, she will come on the pod. She will be a guest if we stop cussing.
These are like false accusations. Promises. These are false promises. I don't think she'll ever come on the podcast. I think she likes being a legend.
She loves being a legend. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like a reluctant celebrity. Right. She loves it.
She absolutely loves it.
But anyway, I would like to endeavor to be a cuss-free podcast.
This one or on the Patreon?
In the hopes. On this one. Let's don't even talk about the Patreon. Let's not put that on the table for her. Okay. I don't want to have that be a condition.
She did try to sign up for the Patreon and we swiftly blocked that.
We blocked her. But yes, I would personally like to try to do that because I do think that if she came on, hopefully we could get this podcast to lift off the ground.
Sure. I mean, I really am doubtful that she will ever come on the podcast, but I think that this will just become a snowball of demands from her, of golden handcuffs, if you will. That are like, I'll come on. If you don't cuss, if you can't talk about anything truly salacious.
If you move out of your fiance's apartment.
Right,
and
right.
Become a chaste woman.
Exactly.
Never going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Didn't you tell someone at the party that you were living in sin?
Oh, we should talk about that. We were.
This is just a trigger warning, a self-cancel warning. Our parents had a going away
party for our little sister.
It was outdoors, but there were more people than, you know,
than the CDC would
recommend.
Yes. And I was very scared about it, very nervous, but I went because, of course, I'm supporting my little sister, family first, above, you know, the nation's health. And it was truly so fun. I was a little dreading it, to be honest, mm-hmm. because we were going to see people that we haven't seen for like 10 or 15 years.
Right. Yeah.
Like that were part of our childhood church community. And it's not that you don't love seeing those people, but it's more just like, it's stressful to see a bunch of like people and like explain your life. And I don't know. It's like, gives me anxiety.
Right. I mean, not only was I worried about like, and am still slightly worried about the COVID element of it. But I was just worried about seeing people that have known me at all stages of my life. Like,
right.
Like when I was 8 and like cute, when I was like 12 and awkward, when I was 14 and had like a red face from Accutane, when I was 16 and thriving and on top of the world and peaking in high school.
Yeah. And definitely peaking.
Yeah. And now it's like, wow, am I going to look like I've made strides since then or no? Like, am I going to look like I've backslid?
Well, I think it's also like, it's not even about your progress, although it definitely is that. But I think that on some level, like, I was a very angsty teenager mm-hmm. and I was very much like, I was antisocial. And I think that sometimes being around all those people, it can put me back in my shell. And like, I kind of can retreat into that persona a little bit. Or at least I was afraid I would, subconsciously. Right. And really, these thoughts are just, growing in my mind.
Yeah, I was not an antisocial emo teen at all. Like, I actually, I love talking to adults, still do. the small talk is truly where I thrive. Like, I will, like, I will have an out-of-body experience where I will be talking to an adult who I'm not familiar with, and I will just think to myself, wow, you're really charming the pants off of them.
Oh my gosh, wow. Okay, so who's the narcissist now? that's the question.
I mean, I just remember being a kid, a teenager, and talking with my friend's parents and loving it. Being like, oh, I guess we can go hang out in your room now.
Wait, can I tell you? I had one moment, I remember I was in the 7th grade, and I was eating pizza at my friend Christina Dominguez's house. Shout out Christina Dominguez.
Yeah, first and last name.
And I remember her dad was like a doctor, and her
fascinating.
Dad, I'm about to get to the end of the story. Thank you, Chandler.
No, I was saying he was a doctor. Like, that would have been amazing to talk to.
Oh, well, anyway, he was like, he said something, and I just remember I just learned the word learned. And so remember I went and reached for another piece of pizza from the Pizza Hut box, and I said, Christina, your father is a very learned man.
Oh my God.
That's like 12 years old. I got a very approving look from both Mr. and Mrs. Dominguez. Is that not an excellent story?
I mean, that is an excellent story. I mean, learned just feels like biblical to me.
I know. It's super corny, super pretentious, but if the shoe fits, bitch. Right. Oh, crap. I'll put in like a bleep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can we have mom on the podcast that we just bleep ourselves?
Potentially.
Okay, great. Also, I have to say that we saw our favorite person who loves the pod, who we love and adore. Like, literally, I want to like live with this person. Stacey Ord.
Shout out Stacey Ord. You are goals.
Goals.
Rocking those Lauren freaking Gucci pants.
Lauren and I were talking about how hot you looked for hours after.
Correct.
We're obsessed with you. Shout out Haley. Wish you had been there. But truly, Stacey,
we're the fans in this situation.
Yeah, honestly, I told you this, but Lauren and I were just like literally most excited to see you. So sorry. She deserves a little shout out.
And excited to see Chloe.
Chloe.
Our dear friend, the pod. It was so fun. Chloe and Amy.
So basically, our little sister's mission farewell was also a meet and greet
for the pop apologists. It's true.
And it was like an album release party.
It ended up being so fun. Like, all of my social anxieties that came up beforehand totally melted away. Yeah. And I had so much fun talking to everyone.
Right. And while it was like COVID-wise, it wasn't like, it's not the wisest thing to do. I also feel like being outdoors like made me feel a lot less stressed. I thought it was going to be more indoors.
Yeah, and the numbers are super low in Orange County right now. And to be honest, you guys, it would basically be like declining going to
a wedding
yeah. for one of your siblings. If that's something you're prepared to do, Fauci thanks you.
Right, and but you can cancel us if that's something that you can show that you've done.
I'm sure we'll get a 1-star review.
Right.
I love this podcast.
Until
they mentioned the party they threw. It's just like,
I'm sorry, you can cancel me for being family first, and I'll stand by that.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, anything else to report? We've been together for the past week.
We've been nonstop together.
Ensconced.
Ensconced.
The word of the week.
Well, you corrected me and said you have to be ensconced with something, so have you been ensconced with me?
Yeah, you have to be ensconced in an environment, in a relationship, and we've been ensconced
in each other.
No, because you were seriously so sick.
I said with or in.
Yeah, it's gross to say in each other.
I didn't mean it sexually, okay?
It's been really fun.
It's been very fun.
Although I'm not going to do
that.
I'll do it later.
Yes, no, apologize now.
I do feel like I've been like a little like
Thank
quick
you.
To get snippy.
Yes, you have.
And I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
I don't know what that's about.
Well, I think we have this degree of comfortability that's actually really toxic.
It's true.
It's like, we know the other person will just like carte blanche, like forgive us for basically anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, I'm going to show you my worst self right now, because I know you'll forgive me in like 20 minutes.
It's not even like knowing they'll forgive you. It's more just like, because you are like a second skin almost, mm-hmm. not to bring back to like the corporeal closeness. But because you are, I'm so comfortable with you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just not afraid to be completely like, my emotions are on the surface with you.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm irritated, like, I'm irritated.
Right.
And that's something that is not actually conducive to a healthy relationship.
I'm not as honestly emotional with any other person in my life.
Yeah.
Like, as you. And I don't know if that's healthy.
It's probably not.
It's not. It's certainly not.
So I'm going to try to do better.
Okay. I'm going to just continue doing what I'm doing.
Okay. Well, I would give you a C.
Have you noticed anything about me that's been annoying?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, really? You got a laundry list?
Absolutely. Your boyfriend is so annoying. Chandler, you guys, Courtney and I were sitting together. If you're new to the pod, Courtney's our older sister. She's at Courtney Girl on Instagram. She's an incredible fashion influencer.
Sure.
and stylist. And anyway.
The tastemaker of our family.
Absolutely. Self-proclaimed, but it's accurate. The tastemaker of our family. And I was sitting with Courtney and we were just talking and commiserating and really, you know, therapizing with each other. The fact that Chandler has a boyfriend is so irritating and so annoying and is basically has, you know, really thrown off the dynamic because we're very much used to Chandler being like an appendage. Like she's down for whatever. Well, she's always up for things.
I am still always up for things. I can't be 100% emotionally available to both of
you. You just have your own agenda. Like there's
I'm like Obama or something.
There's just like always a call she's got to make or she's got to be texting, you know? And like there's just like I'll discover her in a room talking, you know, furtively with someone. And it's just like it's just a little aggressive.
It's a little aggressive.
I don't know.
Would you prefer me to be single and always beholden to you?
I preferred when your identity was not fully formed and you did not have a partner in your own full life. I liked when your life was really tied and dependent on us.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, so I'm adjusting, actually.
I'm sorry. I make no excuses or regrets. I make no excuses and I have no regrets. And yeah, sorry about it. Sorry that I'm ensconced with somebody else.
Gosh. You know, I am happy for you. You seem really happy. This seems like a really good relationship. And you guys, they're coming to stay with me for a full like week in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So it's going to be really fun. And that'll be with the true test.
Truly.
So
we'll see.
We'll see how it goes.
It's going to be very fun.
We're
very excited.
Speaking of relationships, can I tell you?
Oh, I was just going to say, I did reveal to him that we were invited to like come stay and house it while you leave.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it'll be super great. Like they've got just this apartment. And you know,
they've got just this apartment.
They have this amazing apartment and we can just go there. And then I said, it is during hurricane season. And there was talk of, you know, I was like, they've got a backup generator. It's all good. Like, we'll just hold down the fort.
Well, here's the thing about hurricane season in Puerto Rico. It's like hurricane season in Florida.
Right.
It's not like people move out. It's just like if there's a hurricane comes, like you do just prepare and then you wait it out. And Maria was like a once in every 100 years type of deal. Yeah. But even with Maria, like are the people across the street from us, they're like, oh yeah, we had electricity. Everything was fine the whole time.
Yeah.
Like it was fine.
It is funny because Mr. New York did ask, he was like, okay, so they are fleeing, but we, we are allowed to go.
I mean, I think we're fleeing to be honest, because I have used Puerto Rico as an excuse to have the apartment I want.
Right.
And to now travel 2 months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's more like, I'm like, okay, let's just not be there. Let's just like travel August.
Right. And it's like wanderlust fleeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory fleeing. And there's most people just stay there the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's not like something that you have to,
like escape.
The island does not evacuate.
Okay.
Because most of the time, no hurricane hits, you know?
Right. Okay. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
Well, speaking of relationships, love, I did go Chandler wedding dress shopping.
I know. I'm still really sad that I'm going to miss it.
Are you really sad?
I am truly sad. And
you know when someone's like, when you like have, I don't know, some sort of like annoying ceremony, like your graduation ceremony, like they're like, you know what? I'm just so sad. I'm going to have to miss sitting in the hot sun for 2 hours on uncomfortable bleachers and watching a bunch of schmucks walk across, you know, a stage in a hideous little cape.
Hideous little cape. No, I am truly sad. I wish that it was conducive for me to take more PTO to like truly be in the moment, but I don't want to also take away from it by having to work like in hotspot the bridal studio.
Or take away from it by just like your glittering personality.
Right. Exactly. I just know that even if I'm 50% there because I'm working, I will still like steal the spotlight.
It's true. That is that you're apt to do that. Or you are want to do that.
But I saw some pictures from yesterday's excursion and it looked beautiful.
It was fun. I mean, I think for me, there's so many options. And so it's been very overwhelming. Like I've gone online and before and I literally, it's like 30 minutes and like, I can't look at stuff anymore. It's too overwhelming. But actually having tried stuff on now, I'm like, okay, I know what general shape looks good or looks decent. I know like what, I know now more what I'm looking for, mm-hmm. and so I feel more equipped. So I actually think I'll probably going today again with Courtney, but I'll probably fly back out and go again like in April, June.
What have been some of your major takeaways?
Well, here's the deal. Courtney, I'll just say it. Courtney wants me to go with a really simplified look, like more of like a Carolyn Bessette look.
And just like gorgeous fabric in a beautiful shape.
Like a slip dress type vibe. Well, I love that and think it's so pretty. I also think it's extremely underwhelming in person. And I have so many times thought, oh my gosh, if I can just get a slip dress, it's going to be so classic and gorgeous and like timeless and so pretty. And then I buy it, it arrives, and it just always looks so not hot on me.
Okay.
It doesn't flatter my body. And so I just think like a very minimal, simple dress will be really boring in person.
I don't know if I totally agree, because I feel like I've seen some dresses that were just like made of gorgeous fabric and like that are cut really well and like actually truly fit your body.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're underwhelming, but really? that's my truth.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, maybe I will end up going with that, but
if anyone has any pictures of their slip dress, wedding dresses that, you know, maybe they found to be underwhelming, please share.
Well, it's funny because like with the budget that I'm in, like, I'm like, okay, this is my budget. And then I'm like trying on these dresses and I'm like, wait, do I honestly want to spend like X dollar amount? Like, do I actually want to spend that much? Like,
right.
It's actually crazy.
It's crazy. I think it's crazy.
For a dress I'm going to be in for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's like, unless your wedding is just a complete like sky's the limit budget, I don't know why you would put that much money into the dress.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, you can edit photos to make your dress look better. Like,
I'll edit Photoshop all these, like, embellishments. Yeah, you know? That's what I want to be doing for sure.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can, if the dress looks like, I feel like sometimes those dresses don't photograph as well because they are like a little bit more simple.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, like, if you like, you know, you can do a little bit of retouching if they like look dirty or like crinkled, wrinkled, whatever.
Oh my gosh. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I will tell you that mom did not hold back. So one of the funniest parts is, you know, I'm not getting a temple modest dress. Right. I'm getting a, you know, a sexy hot dress.
Right.
Whether it's going to be form-fitting, it's for sure tits out, but whether it's going to be like form-fitting or just backless or like whatever.
Frontless.
This is not a t-shirt style wedding dress.
Yeah.
Nothing against that, but that's not what's going on today in our lives. And I will tell you that mom was like so into the slutty wedding dresses. It was hilarious. She was like, and I was like, this was a little see-through. I was like, is there any way to get it lined? And then mom was like, oh, you don't want it too opaque. You don't want it too opaque. Maybe they could just do another layer of tulle. She's like, it'll ruin the whole look. And then it was so funny because like I tried on ones that were like basically just lace down to like my navel.
Yeah.
With like a sheer thing that like looks like it's skin, and it's like skin tight and it looks like you're basically naked. And mom's like, that's the one. That's the one. And then I come out in this one that's like so form fitting. It looks like lace is painted onto my body. And you know, I have been vacationing for the last week, so it's not really my hottest moment on some level. And so I'm like, you know, I think this dress would look really good if I lost like 5 to 10 pounds. And I was like, you can do it. You can do it. And the lady looks at her like aghast. I'm like, mom, you can't say that in 2021. Honestly, she's like, I have to be honest.
This podcast, this episode in particular will get us canceled and I'm here for it.
Oh my gosh. It is just so, our mother is so funny. So funny.
You can do it.
You can do it. Like, you can totally do it.
Honestly. It's so funny. So what are you leaning towards? Did you find the one yesterday?
I found one that I really, really like, and it's the top end of my budget. Great. And it does feel like the one, but I'm recircling because I actually don't want to spend that much money.
Yeah.
It's different when you're spending your own money, you know?
Right. Do you want to talk about the ruse that you tried to get with mom? Oh my gosh,
we should totally do this. Okay. So Kagan and I have opted to pay for our own wedding. My mom and dad did not say that they wouldn't pay for our wedding, but we just proactively were like, we're going to pay for it. Don't worry about it. We got it covered. And so because of that, you know, it's like, I get to do what I want. I get to wear the dress I want. Mm-hmm. I get to, you know, serve the champagne I want.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hell of a time. And anyway, before we got to the bridal salon, I told mom, I was like, okay, they're going to try to close me. And this is my first time trying on dresses. I'm not ready to, you know, put down the credit card. I am trying on getting ideas. So your job is to be like, I'm going to be like, oh, I need it. I'm going to get it. it's for me. And then your job is to be like, hey, I think you should try on more. I think you should visit your venue first. Right. I think you should.
A little 1-2, good cop, bad cop.
Hold the horses. Yeah. Hold your horses, Sally. That was her role. So we're like 10 dresses in, and it was so funny because mom was like, I don't know about that one. You know, you're really going to have to talk your dad into it. And I just had this knee-jerk reaction. I was like, I'm paying for it. I fully ruined the ruse. And then mom was like, got revenge on me. And she was like now with every dress, she was like, I think we need to buy one today. Like, we need to leave this appointment with a dress. You do not want to have to go dress shopping again. Like, she became the good cop and made me the bad cop. It was hilarious.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it was so funny.
She's amazing.
She really is.
One day she'll come on the pod.
Perchance. All right, Chan, one last thing.
Breaking news.
I cannot believe this.
We are living in real time. Mm-hmm. We are just taking the updates as they come. Mm-hmm. Where were you when you heard the news?
I was shopping with Courtney.
Yeah.
In South Coast Plaza. Mm-hmm. And Courtney gasped, and I said, what's going on? And then she told me what had happened. Where were you?
I was in the middle of a very busy work meeting, and I had a previous coworker, shout out Natasha, send me the news.
So you and Natasha were both sidetracked.
Yeah, both Natasha and I were not focused on our present jobs.
Well, Jen Shaw, we should probably say what we're talking about.
What we're talking about. Jen Shaw was arrested.
Arrested.
Today.
Is being indicted.
Indicted.
On counts of wire fraud.
Mm-hmm. And money laundering. Or not money laundering.
Yeah, money laundering.
Is it money laundering? Yes. Yeah, with like a telemarketing scheme.
So I obviously read everything I could on the internet about it. And essentially what they're saying is that she would sell lead lists to these scammers, essentially, of vulnerable people, 55 and up, who were selling fraudulent business schemes to elderly people. Who in many cases didn't even have a computer, like selling web design services, all of these services. And apparently, like, she was in on the take too. So she was getting a percentage of whatever the fraudsters made.
This bitch is shady. Sorry. This B is shady.
Well, okay. So
we always knew this.
Right.
But this is like extreme. And here, you know, throughout the season, she's just showing us this girl boss.
Building her empire.
Right. Little did we know.
That's what I'm saying. And so if you listen to the Patreon, you probably heard this rant. But I did this rant against, like, girl bosses and building your own empire. Only because I just think that, like, our culture just focuses way too much on accumulation of, you know, riches. And less on, like, meaningful careers. Like, what if instead of, like, building your empire, you were, like, learning to be a heart surgeon or, like, learning to get a skill that would really contribute to the world?
I think building your empire is more about just, like, ambition and, hustle. Less about, like, let me see how many, like, jets I can, like.
Oh, see, I see it as, like, how many Escalades are going to be in my driveway.
No, I don't think so. I think building your empire is just, like, a way for, like, women to just, like, you know, just another way to, like, write that on a Tumblr.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, talk about their hustle and ambition. But I could, you know, that's from my vantage point.
There's just such, like, a wealth obsession and a conspicuous consumption obsession in our culture.
And clearly that was the case with Jen Shaw. It was all about wealth.
That was the epitome of what she was doing.
Can I also make a confession on the pod?
What?
I used to have a sweatshirt.
Oh, no.
I must have been a freshman in college, and I had a sweatshirt that had, like, three boxes to check. Had, like, single, taken, building my empire. And the box that said building my empire was checked.
Oh, my
God. And
honestly,
when I saw it at Marshall's, I was like, yes, I need this. I need
this.
I need this.
How old
were you? I was probably, like, 20. Oh. 20. I know.
That.
I know. It's incriminating. That I should be indicted.
So bad. That is so embarrassing.
Yeah. So I'm sensitive to the phrase, and I can speak to it better than anyone.
So apparently all the housewives were about to depart for Vail, Colorado today, and they were at Beauty Lab and Laser, and she was like, oh, I have to go, family emergency. Someone called her, told her this was happening. They came to the Shaw Chalet
and the family was there, but she wasn't there. Then the SWAT team, or like the feds, swarmed Beauty Lab and Laser.
No way.
Yes. And they swarmed Beauty Lab and Laser. She had already left. Obviously, they caught up with her. And the inside scoop that I'm hearing is that one of her assistants was an inside agent for the FBI.
No way.
Yes.
Like assistant number 5 or 6.
Must be.
So here's my question. Do we think Stu is also guilty?
Like, Stu's been indicted, so Stu must be.
I did not think ill of Stu. I thought Stu was just like wrapped up, you know, in her clutches, but I didn't think he was like, you know, an active participant.
What's really interesting about this is like, when it comes to like the FBI investigating your business or you, it's not like, it seems like they only would do that for people that are truly nefarious.
Right.
Like, it's not like she didn't know what people were doing with her lead list. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
right. Or people levels below or above her were just like ne'er-do-wells.
Exactly. I love your use of ne'er-do-wells. It's one of my favorite phrases. You always find a way to slip in ne'er-do-well.
I honestly probably use it like once a week. Probably every time we record.
Where did you even hear that phrase?
I think Wyatt said it one time.
Ne'er-do-well. Ne'er-do-well. Exactly. It's not like she was unwittingly, you know, doing business with ne'er-do-wells. She was wittingly doing business with ne'er-do-wells.
And she herself is a ne'er-do-well.
I'm actually pretty sure on the podcast that, or I'm sorry, on the indictment that is what she's being indicted for, is ne'er-doing-well.
100%. Yeah, that's by the state of Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, but I do think that that's interesting because, like, obviously she's involved in something that's truly malevolent.
Right.
And it's really sick. It's horrible. Mm-hmm.
It's really horrible. I mean, she was seemed like a morally bankrupt woman, like, yeah, from the season, but this is like, I thought, okay, maybe she's just obsessed with being wealthy and just like this facade, but clearly she's like actively trying to hurt people and like scam. And that's like really sick. And I mean, there's so many like scams, I feel like, that in Utah, because there's just so many like elderly.
Well, I totally agree. And I think that anyone who scams off the elderly,
right,
is so incredibly bankrupt, morally mm-hmm. bankrupt and depraved almost.
Like, were they involved with like call centers or something?
Yeah, there was some sort of telemark, but that's how they got to like, call people.
Yeah, that's what I was, because I'm like, I feel like Utah has a lot of call centers as well as elderly people.
Our brother has worked at a call center. Do you think that he's in any way implicated?
Nick, if you're out there, this is a warning.
This is a warning.
The indictment, no. No, I think Nick has just in the past sold like cable subscriptions.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be so interesting to watch this unfold.
So I wrote this on the Instagram today. I cannot wait. I wish we could have it televised and recorded. But I want the Coach Shaw pep talk from prison. Like, what does that look like? What does that sound like? What is he saying to her? You know, should we reenact it? Like, yeah. What? Okay, so. I'm gonna be Jen.
You're gonna be Jen?
I'm gonna be Jen.
Oh, great. So I get the hard part.
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Sounds good.
Beep, beep. This is a collect call from the Utah County State Penitentiary. Utah County State. A calling for Jen Shaw.
Boys, we're going to do another lap and then I'm going to come back. All right. That's coaching.
Okay.
Hey, baby.
Baby, talk me through this. Coach, I need a pep talk.
I want you, when you look in the mirror in your cell, I want you to think, I can do this. There's nothing that I can't do. I scam the elderly out of, you know, their hard-earned savings. I can get through 15 years in prison. It's a drop in the bucket.
I just...
Think of all the great parties you threw for Meredith Mark's birthday. Isn't that worth it? Think about the shade you threw at Lisa Barlow when you threw a birthday party on her birthday, but that wasn't for her. Baby, you worked really hard for this. Think of you skiing down the slopes in that Versace suit. Isn't that worth a few license plates? A few hours spent toiling away behind bars. Baby, come on.
You're right.
I probably should reach out and see if she wants to make payments to her lawyer instead of paying up front, though. Right, right.
Honestly, this is a great time for retained finance.
Mm-hmm, to step in.
Should we tell
them? Another scheme.
Another scheme. You guys are you're a match made in heaven. We should tell the listeners about how Dad thought what your tattoo, what Dad thought your tattoo
would
be.
Oh my gosh.
This was, our dad is not like super funny. He has like some good one-liners every now and then. And he had one of them the other night. We were all sitting around. Lauren was teasing our mom about possibly having a tattoo because our mom really does not like tattoos. She considers tattoos to be ne'er-do-wells. and our dad goes, how did he even say it?
I don't even remember. I actually don't even know. I remember.
We were just like, what is it? And like, we were all like, it's tasteful. Like, it's fine. We were just teasing our mom. And then our dad goes, is it retain?
That was hilarious.
It was very good.
Yeah, anyway. That was so funny. She was so aghast. She said something. I actually started recording it, you guys, for you, for the pod. I have the full raw audio.
She said some stuff that she would regret.
But she said some stuff that was so horrible that I was like, I can't even put this on the airwaves.
No, you can't put that on the airwaves.
I mean, it was like all joking. It was all lighthearted, but it was like a little things dark. You should never joke about.
Right, right.
But yes, she thought I'd gotten a tattoo, and it was so funny. Also, during this very dinner when the tattoo issue came up, which I obviously did not, I do not have a tattoo. So another thing that happened was, so she gave me her phone because I wanted to look at the pictures of trying on wedding dresses. And I took that as an opportunity.
Of course.
To go on her Instagram and post a story of our podcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Naturally.
So you probably all saw this. So the story said, please, everyone, go listen to my daughter's hilarious podcast. At Pop Apologists. And it was like our cover art or whatever. And it was so funny. Oh my gosh. Just like I texted everyone at the table to look at her story other than her,
and contain
obviously.
Their face.
Yeah. And control their expressions. And
it was up for like 2 hours.
Yeah, it was up for like 2 hours before she discovered
and
it.
And people were sending it to us left and right saying this can't be real.
Yeah. And it was so, so funny. She eventually figured it out. And I was actually nervous because she's so negative about the podcast.
Right.
And she acts like it's something that she really hates.
Despises.
Mm-hmm. And so I felt like she was actually, there's going to be like true negativity when she found out about it.
She's so truly, she is so embarrassed of it.
Yeah. And like, she thinks it's such a bad look for our family. Like absolutely so embarrassing for our family. The quote about
like still rings true.
I mean, I think it doesn't even scratch the surface about how she feels on the pod these days. But she ended up having a pretty lighthearted reaction, but she did promptly delete it.
Yeah.
But she was just like, you know,
can you imagine if you're like son or daughter had like a passion project and you were just so embarrassed of it, and then they posted like a sweet like please listen, and then you immediately deleted it upon seeing it?
Well, it was a swift departure from her previous story, which was, you know, reposting the prophet of the Mormon church, Russell M. Nelson's like speech or whatever.
Sure.
You know, I think it's a little bit of a tone shift.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Also, Lauren and I are starting to read this book called Instrument, Not an Ornament. This book was recommended to us by our dear friend Candace. It's a book all about bodies and sort of shifting your mindset away from viewing your body as an ornament to more of an instrument and like a tool, and not this object to be desired.
Courtney promptly pointed out when she saw that I was reading this book that when I have one drink in on a boat, suddenly I'm all about my body being an ornament.
Right. About every other photo of me on my Instagram is a selfie. So, you know, we've got room to grow.
Is ornamental, for sure.
There's room to grow, you know, time to learn. But I think
called More Than a Body.
Sorry, More Than a Body. But I think that the byline is like it's an instrument, not an ornament.
Your body is an instrument, not an ornament.
Right. And I think our like previous discussion on the Patreon where we talked about bodies,
body image. Yeah.
I think we could benefit a little bit from like a more like educated conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that the reason why I was pulled in to read it and why I ordered it immediately
after seeing that I had it first, just gotta give credit where credit's due.
Correct. Is that I feel like there's so many ways I suffer as a human being that are based on
just our culture's objectification of women and my comparing myself to other women and my feeling like I don't measure up in certain ways and like evaluating my flaws and all of that. And I feel like there's such an important work to be done to try to get to a place where you're more neutral towards your body.
Totally.
And it's not just this thing that you're constantly, you know, evaluating. And I think that, it, you know, it's really like one of the things I talked about in the first page was basically just like everything that all the messages that we get are all as little girls and as women in our society, it's all about your body and like how your value is directly tied to your appearance. Right. And
I feel like even this notion of like body positivity is like somewhat twisted in the sense that it's still based on your looks. It's like, no, I love the way I look all the time, no matter what, my body looks amazing.
Right.
And so I actually found this, I mean, I'm literally like less than 10 pages
in. We're about to read it. We're going to read it.
I'm going to do a little
excerpt.
An excerpt. But I thought this has really stuck with me. And it says positive body image isn't believing your body looks good. It is knowing your body is good regardless of how it looks.
Right.
Which I just like unlocked something for me in my brain where it was just like, okay, I don't have to look at my body all the time and think, this looks great no matter what. I just don't have to think about how it looks.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's really interesting. I think that like there's so much deconditioning we need to do.
Right. If anything, I'm just trying to stop that constant evaluation on my part. Like, I think that's it's probably going to be natural for other people to comment on the way that you look. But if I can do it 90% less in my own head, I think I'll be a healthier person.
Right. Totally. And I think, like, obviously we want to try to do this work before we have kids.
Right.
Before we, like, teach them to be constantly self-evaluating and or evaluating others. And, like, I think that, you know, recently – I've been exposed to conversations that we were exposed to a lot in childhood that have made me realize just how pervasive it was to evaluate other people, men and women, based on looks.
Right.
And it's just not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's just not like, I just don't think it's the healthiest way to think. Like it doesn't always mean that you're going to turn out to be a terrible person or have a ton of problems, but I just think like there's a healthier way to think about things like that. Because at the end of the day, like a lot of things can happen to your body that like are bigger than like fitness or anything like that. Like life is just a lot bigger than like your body.
Yeah. I mean, we're all on a collision course with either death or aging.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are inevitable.
Right.
And it really doesn't matter how much skincare or all that stuff you do. Eventually, we're all either going to be dead or old. And I think that there's something that's – I don't know. I think that there's just something really beautiful about people who accept themselves and love themselves and are truly happy. I do think there is an energy to that.
Well, and I think it's like even acceptance, like – denotes that there's something wrong that they have to like take. It's just like, it's all about, for me, it's all about the neutrality.
Yeah. Okay. But I more mean like, I don't, by acceptance, I mean like people who seem really genuinely happy and do not seem looks obsessed.
Right. It's just like, they're not, it's not a thought in their brain.
Right. And I think that there's honestly, that's such an attractive quality.
Right.
And it's just something I want to cultivate whilst, you know, still being pretty looks obsessed. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Yeah. Thank you, Candace, for the rec.
I probably will post a thirst trap because I am about to go
I mean, this is like,
to Cancun.
I will be posting thirst traps until the end of time. But, you know, hopefully I can just meet all the positive comments with more neutrality. I'm not liking your positive comment, that's why I'm just so neutral. I'm so body positive, so body neutral.
The post is not about her body. It's about
The moment.
It's about the swimsuit.
It's about the swimsuit. It's about
the sun.
The time. Totally. It's about the memory.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Okay, cool.
I think we've done some good work.
Yeah, totally.
Chandler, I love you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's all for now, folks.
Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.